church scholars and theologians, and bishops and pastors alike say that 2017 is the year of Jubilee. I join them in believing it important to observe this new year as the year of Jubilee. Now, some of you may wonder what Jubilee really means. By the way, nowadays, people in the world use this word any way they want. So it's watered down, and we almost lost the original meaning of Jubilee. It came from the Bible, and what the significance of it. So let me explain it to you as briefly as I can this morning. The word Jubilee, as you read and heard this morning from today's text, originates from God's command in Leviticus chapter 25. And three times the word Jubilee appears. Basically, the idea is that every 50 years among the people of Israel, all the land is returned to its original families. All debts are canceled and all the slaves are freed. Isn't it wonderful? Only God can come up with such a brilliant idea. The word Jubilee, as I said, it's yobel in Hebrew, turning into Latin verb jubilo, and literally means shout for joy. And I remember choir saying, jubilate, jubilate. Remember that song? Shout for joy. Indeed, Jubilee is, I quote, a time of freedom and celebration, because everyone receives back their original property and return home to their families. So this morning, you and I will think about the meaning and the applications of Jubilee among God's children. What does it come to your mind when you think of the word Jubilee? This is what comes to my mind. Release, return, reset, restore, redeem, reconcile, refresh, remember, reflect, reunion, and reconnect. Let this year be the year that we are released from any type of bondage we are under. Let this year be the year that we return to the original state God intends us to be in all areas of life, spiritual, emotional, physical, and even financial. Did you know that our God in heaven wants us to be free from all types of bondage? If someone asked me, Pastor Choi, you've been a Christian for over 40 years. If you use one word to summarize what Christianity, your faith and practice in Christ is all about, which word would you choose? Without hesitation, I would choose the word freedom. Freedom in Christ. If I were born physically again and lived my life second time, I would be all over again a Christian, because it gave me freedom in Christ. Isn't that what everyone wants? In reality, though, too many people of God are still in bondage. I'm going to focus on three bondages under which people are: spiritual bondage, physical bondage, and financial bondage. This is what I mean by spiritual bondage. It means that we are enslaved to sin and death. Too many God's children are oppressed and harassed by sin, guilt, and shame. Doesn't matter how many years you've been going to church, some people still oppressed and harassed. And they are even afraid of death as well. What about physical bondage? I'm talking about oftentimes we are sick unnecessarily, for years at times. Here's an example. One day Jesus was walking into a synagogue, and inside he saw men and women. And he saw another woman who was suffering for 18 years with bent back. She must have some, you know, spinal problem, but no one was able to cure her. And Jesus released her from that physical bondage. God wants us to live a healthy life free from illness. I'm not just preaching health and wealth theology here. Truly, if you study the Word of God and understand God's intention and purpose for you, He doesn't want you to suffer from physical illness. Now, the third type of bondage is financial. Too many people in the world today are in bondage to banks and individuals for years, often losing their sleep to despair and financial worries. Who told me, I read somewhere, the average debt a person, average American has nowadays $16,000? It was just for credit card debt or just overall? I cannot remember that part, but a lot of people worrying about financial. Let me elaborate a little bit more on each category and jubilee in each category. Spiritual jubilee means spiritual freedom. Did you know that once, before we got to know Jesus, we were all slaves to the devil, under the power of sin and death? If you have faith in Christ, you are truly blessed. If anyone asks you, count your blessing, for me, besides life and, you know, health, comes the faith in Christ. You know, not everyone in the world has faith in Christ. Just the other day, I was talking with a young man, and it was so hard to talk with him because he doesn't believe in God. And I realized once again, faith is the gift from God. If you have faith in Jesus, you are truly blessed. Anyway, some people in today's world literally worship the devil. You heard of the expression, Church of Satan. They worship Satan. Others also serve the devil by following the money and fleshly desires too. That's why God sent His only Son, Jesus, to us to set us free from the devil's trap by destroying the devil's works in us. How did He do it? By paying the wages of our sin and bought us with His own blood once and for all, so that our sins may be forgiven, so that we may go free from Satan's accusation and condemnation. Jesus took away the fear of death from us too. He redeemed us once and for all from all this terrible spiritual bondage. We are free in Christ. Can you say after me? Three times you're going to say, I am free in Christ. Shall we? I am free in Christ. I am free in Christ. I am free in Christ. Never forget. No one owns us. Neither does the devil. As no one should serve two masters, we choose to worship and serve only one God, whose name is Jehovah the Lord, in whom we find true spiritual jubilee. Spiritual jubilee also includes forgiveness, folks. Without forgiveness, there is no spiritual jubilee. God forgives us of our sins in Christ, so we are free, but He also expects us, wants us to reciprocate forgiveness toward each other. So it's a nonsense. You say, thank God for forgiving my sins, but you refuse to forgive someone. It's never a jubilee. This year, let us grant jubilee to those who owe us. Let us forgive those who trespass against us as the Lord forgives us our trespasses. This year, let there be a jubilee in our relationship with our families. You know how often I see people crying over the holidays because their sons and daughters, their parents, don't talk to each other. They often feel lonely. Nobody comes. Nobody calls. Let the forgiveness flow and be rendered among us this year. And let the reconciliation take place in the name of Jesus through repentance and forgiveness. This year, let there be the emotional jubilee as well. Let our family members be restored to peace and harmony with one another. We shall not sow the seed of hate. We shall not avenge ourselves either this year, and we shall leave it to God, for He is the only one who can bring true justice to all. What about jubilee in our physical health? It means restoration to full health. This year, my prayer is, may God heal us all. Let the physical oppression we experience or under be broken forever. Amen? Amen? May God restore and renew us to full health as He originally designs us to be in. Let us live a disease-free life in Christ. That's my prayer. Finally, jubilee also means freedom from financial debt. Entirely and absolutely free. Too many believers in Christ today live in debt. I was listening to the radio not about a week ago, and the speaker about finances, he said, do you know how much people spent for this Christmas? Average family spent $800 this past Christmas. And he was telling us, pay off this month. But I'm sure a lot of people cannot. Debt means, to me, makes us slaves to banks and individuals. As long as we are in debt, they own us. We must be free from them. Let us stay disciplined this year in our finances, that we will not overspend. If you don't have it, don't spend it. Simple as that. And do everything in our power to pay off our current debt. If you don't have any goal, that would be a great goal this year. Let God and God alone, not money or anything else, be our financial security. Speaking of financial security, I encourage you to read the entire chapter of Leviticus chapter 25 so that you have a better context why God declares jubilee every 50 years. I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 25. 6 years, God says, you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its crop. You got to understand, it was agricultural society back then. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Your harvest after growth you shall not reap. Your grapes of untrimmed vines you shall not gather. The land shall have a sabbatical year. All of you shall have the Sabbath products of the land for food, yourself and your male and female slaves and your hired man and your foreign resident, those who live as aliens with you. Even your cattle and the animals that are in your land shall have all its crops to eat. God continues, but if you say, what are we going to eat on the seventh year if we do not sow or gather in our crops? Then, God says, I'll so order my blessing for you in the sixth year that it will bring forth the crop for 3 years. When you're sowing the eighth year, you can still eat old things from the crop, eating the old until the ninth year when its crop comes in. Here's God's promise. Human mind and human wisdom. Uh-oh, we gotta do something. I mean, how are you going to feed yourself, your family, if you don't till the ground, if you don't harvest the vineyard? God says, don't worry. Do you believe my promise? I'll give 3 years worth of crop on the sixth year. I have a little advice for those folks who long for financial freedom. Actually, it's not my advice. It's the divine solution for financial freedom and security in the Bible. It is called tithes, giving 10% of your income to the Lord. Now, at this moment, I'm going to stop. If you think Pastor Choi, he has ulterior motive, all he cares is about collecting more money from us. You are free to leave now. Seriously, folks. However, if you believe in my personal integrity as pastor and as a Christian, I do not want to hide anything beneficial to all of us, especially from the Word of God, especially when it comes down to financial security. I'm telling you, it is known as tithes, basically giving 10% of your income. If you think, oh, Pastor Choi, you're testing me, right? No. If you just doubt my true motive, you don't have to give to the church either. You give your 10% income to other charities. But this is the point I'm making. God says, you know, God never allows us to test him, put him to the test. Only one thing he does. You know what that is? Called tithing. God says in Malachi, you test me on this and see if I'm telling you the truth or not. Financial security I'm talking about. People who give tithes know what I'm talking about, the truth, that God knows our needs and supplies all our needs according to his riches. We never go hungry or lack anything. That's the beauty of tithes. Tithing teaches us one thing, that is to trust in God and follow his command and experience God's provisions based on his greatness and goodness and faithfulness toward us. I've been practicing tithing for over 40 years, folks. That's why I'm telling you. During those times, God never, ever disappointed me. He never. On the contrary, he proved repeatedly that he is my eternal security. I just turned to 60 last December. I'm looking forward to my retirement days. But let me tell you, I don't even have a house to move in after my retirement. Should I begin to worry about my future? I don't. Not that I don't want to prepare for my future, but God has come in any time that I need. And for the rest of my life, he will do the same thing. Not only that, folks, you know, I got a personal promise from God for my child. God says, have I not come and rescue and helped you take care of your needs? And I give my promise, I'll be here, therefore, your own child for many years to come. Isn't that great? Isn't that what you want from God? Let me tell you one more thing, and I'll close my the sermon. When it comes down to financial security, I don't have $1 billion. I don't even have $1 million. But my financial security is greater than billionaires. I can tell you with every single ounce of my being. Why? Because God is my security. So by the end of this year, I pray that every one of us will say that this year has been indeed the year of Jubilee. Jubilee in person, Jubilee in the family, Jubilee in our church, and Jubilee in our society and creation. And one last thing. You know, I carefully and prayerfully prepared verses from the Bible, God's Word. All 11 verses I chose, and all related to the theme of Jubilee. And be sure to take one before you go home. For each individual, you have 3 people in your family, 3 scrolls for you. Okay? For each and every one of you. Post it in the most visible place in your home. Could be a refrigerator door, in your bedroom, wherever, mirror. Meditate on it and claim God's promise and the freedom in Christ throughout the year. Okay? Don't forget. And you will be truly blessed. Let's bow our heads and pray. It's beyond our imagination and understanding how much, Lord, you love us. Oftentimes, we bring you down to our level. Oh, this much a God can do for me? No. God wants to bring us to his level. No wonder Bible says, be ye perfect. Be ye holy as God is. It often makes me wonder, how can I be ever perfect like God? On the other hand, Lord, I am deeply touched, deeply challenged with your expectation of me and of your children. That much we could do. That much we could become.
you gave us the rule called Jubilee. Oh, year of Jubilee, year of liberation and freedom from all kinds of bondage. Let us experience, Lord, true freedom in Christ throughout the year, day after day. Help us never settle for less than what God has stored up for us. We are indeed free in Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.